guy who knows the Devils very well. Matt Laughlin joins us once again. Matt, how you doing?
Jason, I'm doing well. How are you today?
I'm good, Matt. You know, this is big news. Like, Lou Lamoriello is being, and not that he's out of the organization, but, you know, he's out of, you know, making the final decision, and that hasn't happened in this organization in three decades.
Well, certainly there's a new voice, and it hasn't happened, as you said, in 28 years, almost a full three decades, and so it is a new day for the Devils. I think we'll have to see how much of a voice he does have, whether or not it is more of an advisory capacity, whether or not Ray is the one who ferrets out any deals or talks to scouts and then sits down in kind of a collaborative effort. There are structures, say, for instance, in Columbus, where it's clear Jarmo Kekäläinen is the GM and John Davidson is the team president. Does Jarmo have to run some things past John? What are those things? Is there nothing he has to run by them? So this is so new for the Devils that I think we're still learning what the process will be.
They finished the season with co-coaches, which is rather rare. Adam Oates, who'd been a head coach before, and of course Scott Stevens. Do you see either one of them being the main bench boss?
I don't. I think that Ray, and again, this will be one of the indications, and Lou said yesterday that it's Ray's call. He will have 100% autonomy to make that call. So I think we'll get a clearer picture of what's going on with the Devils as that decision is made. But I think that because it'll be Ray's call, not that he doesn't have some sort of a connection that I'm perhaps not aware of with Adam or Scott, I think he's going to want, quote-unquote, his own man. And I think that he will go and reach out to somebody else.
Yeah, and that would make sense to me. And, you know, a lot of people, the name that makes the most sense just because their connection would be Dan Bylsma.
Absolutely. And, you know, you look in sports and there's always a connection. It may not be as obvious as the one that Ray has with Dan, but, you know, you trace back the roots of the tree a little bit. And you don't have to get too far before they were roommates in college or they played in junior together or whatever. And so that connection has to run deep. It's a critical relationship, and generally you want someone that you have absolute faith and trust in. And clearly that relationship exists between Ray and Dan from their years in Pittsburgh. That doesn't mean that Dan will take it. That doesn't mean that Ray won't think outside the box a little bit. But, you know, if there was a chance to get a bet down in Las Vegas, I think that there'd be some significant money on that being the guy.
looking at the Devils team themselves on the ice, what do you feel is the one area that needs to be upgraded the most?
Has to be at the forward position. They're solid in goal with Corey Schneider, more than solid there. They have young defensemen who still have a bit to prove, but I think we've seen enough over the last year or so, or a little bit more in the case of Adam Larson, but particularly this year, that, you know, they're certainly NHL-caliber defensemen. Is there a top-two pairing guy there? Maybe not. But overall, I think the comfort level is fairly high in goal and on defense. It's clearly on offense. I mean, the truth of the matter is the Devils pushed guys up to positions that they could not fill. They had more third liners than they should have, but they forced some of those guys to play second line, in some cases first line minutes. They've got to get younger. They've got to get faster. I don't know that you can do that all in one full swoop through trades and free agents, but talked about the need to improve the ability to score goals, which has been a problem for the Devils, and I think that's the area he will attack, whether he uses the chips of some young defenseman to pry some guys loose, whether he waits to see who might be available because his team is hamstrung by the cap. I think all of those things will provide options for him, and how many he can take advantage of is part of what makes this such an interesting summer. We entered this year saying, wow, this offseason, wow, this is going to be some offseason. What is going to happen as they move forward to try to get back to the playoffs? And we've seen the first tree fall, if you will, and they've got a new GM, and now there's a coach coming, and there are more players coming. And for the first time in 30 years, the organization is facing, as we said, a different voice, perhaps a bit of a different philosophy, and what implications there are everywhere, in every corner of the organization.
Matt Laughlin joins us talking Devils with Ray Sherrill, the new general manager. Last season, it might have been possible for somebody to pry Adam Larson out of New Jersey. It, you know, looked like he was a young guy really struggling to find his way. This year, played basically 21 minutes a night, led the Devils in scoring by defenseman with 24 points in only 64 games. So what did you see as the big improvement? Is it strictly just maturity, development? What was he doing better last season? And I'm guessing he's now one of those guys who's kind of on the no-trade list.
Well, he certainly has improved his position on that list. I think when you finish the way the Devils did, there is no one who is, unless they have it contractually written, I don't think there's anyone who's not movable, but he certainly moved closer to that that list, that line with his play this year. Well, what happened simply after Pete DeBoer got let go was Adam was paired with Andy Green. Damon Severson, who had been playing with Green, also got injured about the same time. So there was an opportunity to move Adam with Green, who is the Devils' most reliable defenseman, has a very calming influence. And then Adam was able to play through some mistakes. Pete DeBoer was coaching for his life. He couldn't afford to have Adam be a little tentative at times. And as he was criticized, Adam became tentative at times and wasn't sure where he should be, what his role was, what he should do, what do you want me to do on this shift? You can't play that way. Once the change was made, Scott Stevens came in and was told to work on the defense and get these guys better prepared, and he was allowing Adam to work through some issues. And so Adam suddenly, okay, I can make a mistake, but I'm back out there the next shift. I'm not watching the next game in street clothes. And so his confidence grew, his decision-making got better, he started to become a more physical player. The offense is not there. There may be some of that at some point that will come, but they saw an Adam Larson that they thought they had when they selected him fourth overall. So, yeah, I'd say he's pretty close to that line. But depending on who might be offered in a deal, I don't think Ray Sherrill will say no to, or he'll at least listen to everything.
The you know, the Devils, you talked about scoring, and you know, for the longest time they were able to you know, build that organization in the draft, Matt. That, you know, obviously when they won their championships, you know, Marty Brodeur was a backbone, Scott Niedermayer was a backbone, and you know, the Elias, you go down the list of guys they drafted. Does their drafting or is it their development, which one has to improve, do you think, more recently?
And I'm pausing only because your development is kind of contingent on the kind of talent that you're handed, the raw materials. And at the same time, though, you would like to hand a raw talent off and say, hone these fine edges and make this player a National Hockey League player. I would think the drafting would be the first, simply because and there have been exceptions. I mean, some of the players that we were talking about, this young defense, John Merrill was a second-round pick. Eric Gelinas was a second-round pick. Adam Larson was a first-round pick. Damon Severson, a second-round pick. So it's not like the cupboard on that end is barren. But when it's come to the forwards, there have been more than a fair share of swings and misses. Some of that has to do with positioning. When you're drafting 20th, 21st, 22nd, 25th, you don't have access to that high end. Some of it, you know, they had a player, Matthias Tedenby, who has world-class speed in a league that emphasizes it. He just couldn't stay on the puck. He was too easily knocked off the puck. Could they have seen that? I don't know. So I would say drafting with a focus on forwards has to be the priority.
Looking at the East, and you see those teams a lot, I want to get your thoughts quickly on the Rangers-Capitals series. What do you make of that series so far?
It has been what I thought it would be. The Caps are big and mean, and they are ornery. And we saw with Pittsburgh, even though that series ended in five, that if you get the Rangers off their game, it becomes a slog, and that's not the way they want to play. They want to play a little more up and down. So I think Washington now has the advantage. Obviously, they're up 2-1. They have the home ice advantage now back on their side. I think the Rangers will be a bit of an awfully nervous team entering the next game. That being said, it was a one-goal game last night, and the Rangers played a terrific game, so there's no reason they can't come out 2-2 after tomorrow's game. But I think Washington has now taken a slight edge, even psychologically, on the Rangers.
Well, you know, Alexander Ovechkin and Brian Holtby right now have both been exceptional for the Capitals.
Yeah, you know, and Holtby had a terrific year. He had one of those quietly terrific years. You know, I mean, Carey Price was great, and you know, we raved about his play, and you know, the Hamburglar attracted everyone's attention down the stretch. But there was Holtby playing, I don't know what the numbers are, in 75 games this year and playing exceptionally well. And while everyone talked about, you know, Barry Trotz, some of the defense guys that they've added, Niskanen and Orpik, and the blossoming of a two-way player of Ovechkin and his buying into the system, there was this kid from Saskatchewan just getting it done. So, yeah, he has certainly elevated his play, no doubt.
And quickly, going back to the Devils, Michael Ryder, Havlat, you know, Bernier, Scott Gomez, Tutu, they're all UFAs. Tutu had a really, you know, great bounce back season. Easily could have been a Masterton Trophy nominee, to be honest. What he did in New Jersey after a lot of the off ice struggles he's gone on, which was a pretty good story. Ryder, Havlat, any chance either one of those guys can come back? And do you think Havlat has much to offer to an NHL team at this point?
I don't think so. First of all, I don't think either Michael Marty will come back to the Devils. I think Michael Ryder still has a little something left in the tank. I think the 1 year we saw of Marty Havlat, he wants to get back a little bit toward where he was. He'll never get there, of course, but he gets injured too often. And I think, given what happened last year and in his time prior to that, I think most GMs will be scared off. I think Ryder will get an opportunity. There'll be somebody who'll say, hey, listen, yes, he's 35, but he can still get a shot off. Let's see what he's got. It might be a PTO type of thing. Ray has been charged with changing the forwards and getting younger and getting faster, you can't, well, I guess you could, but I don't think it's a wise philosophy or approach to suddenly have 8 new forwards, you know, coming to your team. So I think some of those guys will be re-signed. Scotty Gomez showed that he certainly has enough left and was more than capable as a center still, and I think he would be worthy of coming back. And, you know, Tutu played a role that's still a part of this game, getting under your skin and played well. But, again, the Devils had a lot of those third and fourth line guys, and I just don't know how many of them you can have, and they do have some guys under contract. So he may be a casualty of that, but, again, you can't get rid of everyone, so I think some of those guys will be back.
Matt, always great to talk to you. Enjoy the offseason. Should be an interesting one in New Jersey, similar to here in Edmonton.
Absolutely. It's a new day in New Jersey, and we're anxious to see what it brings.